Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you, we love you, we give you the glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for your truth and thank you for your... We love you, Father, and we bless you. And thank you for your word. Thank you that you are our helper. And thank you that you are with us. And thank you that you bless us with your presence and with light and revelation. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. On the last subject that we'll be seeing in this study series, the power of the seed of faith. Faith is a seed, and as I was saying a couple moments ago before recording, further ahead we'll be speaking on how faith works and why faith is important and all the sort and points like that. But last Sunday, one of the things that you have to understand is this: faith is now, faith is today. If it's future, it's not faith. Faith is now. Faith, you have it now. Hebrews 11, please. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Faith is what? Is that conviction of today. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. When? Today. And faith is a spiritual power, and faith is a spiritual law. If you were to go out into the street and make perhaps a survey and ask many people, do you have faith in God? The grand majority of the people are going to tell you that yes, they do have faith. But that's a lie. Not true. Because they equate faith to believing, although an ingredient of faith begins with believing. Believing and faith are not necessarily the same. Faith is the departing point, is the point of departure. But faith, you need to know how to operate it. If I were to ask you, be honest. If you have another idea, it doesn't matter, but be honest. If I were to ask you, that faith, and about the faith as a law, Romans 3 verse 23, I'll ask the question in a bit. Romans 3:27, my apologies. 3:27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. This boasting now, let's go to Ephesians 2, because I got to rush a little bit because I have a lot of information. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith is that median. By faith you grab the grace of God, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. There we go. Or anyone walk in boasting. And boasting. No one walks in boasting in the sense that, oh, have you ever asked people when you speak to them of the Lord Jesus Christ? One of the things that I asked them is, if you were to die in this moment, where would you go? To heaven or hell? This is the answer that I've been given by them. Always. Doesn't fail. Either ones, some will tell me, oh, I believe to heaven. And I ask them, really? Why? And then they'll tell me this. Because I behave very well. I don't harm anyone. Has anyone told you that before? I behave very well. I don't harm anyone. I help people out. I ask God to bless me. I do charity work. And you know what my answer is? Love, of course. No, be careful when you tell them this way. But in general, I tell them, you're an ideal candidate to go to hell for that. They're surprised. Why? Because they think that you win over heaven because of your works. Then in vain was the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is why it says, not by works, lest anyone should boast. Then others will tell me, others have told me this, no, really, honestly, I think I'd go to hell. And I ask them the same thing. Why? Well, because look, I do this, I do drugs. A person told me I was a prostitute. I've done drugs. I've been in jail twice now. And they give me a list of all the terrible things that they've done. And in that moment, they've lived. And you know what my answer is? I tell them, no, really, you won't go to hell for that. And they're also surprised. No one goes to heaven or hell by what they do. It's by your nature, by who you are. So, some of them deduce that, oh, does that mean then that we could act badly? No. Behaving good, behaving bad, acting bad will bring you results here on this earth. Acting good, but notice verse 10. Let's speak of 2:10. Ephesians 2:9, then 2:10. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Look at 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Notice the difference between works and good works. Good works is speaking about works of faith. Another way of saying it is works that we do because we were already born again. Amen. Another way of saying it is this. You and I do not do good works to win heaven. But because we've already won heaven, we already are saved, we are children of God, we have received the gift of life, which is Christ Jesus of Nazareth, then we do good works. Works that correspond with our profession of faith. A big difference. A big, big difference. So I'm talking about that faith. The faith as a law, and faith as a spiritual force. Not talking about faith as people use it, which was last session, I believe, that I gave this example. It was one of the past sessions, I don't remember exactly, where I said, there are people who use faith like this. Oh, I have faith in Chevrolet. Oh, I have faith in Ford. Others will say, oh, I have faith in this brand of clothing. What they're saying is, I have confidence, or I like them. I feel more comfortable with this brand of car or clothing or whatever, or be it whatever. But I'm not talking about that. I'm neither talking about when people say, oh, I'm of a Catholic faith, or of a Jewish faith, or of a Muslim faith, or of an evangelical faith. I'm not talking about that either. I'm talking about faith as God speaks it in His Word. I'm talking about faith as a law, as a spiritual law, or as a spiritual force. That is the type of faith of God of which I'm referring to. Do you understand? I'll repeat it in the next study series that I'll be speaking on faith specifically, which is why it's so important as to how faith works. Now here's the question that I was going to ask you, and be very honest. If I tell you the most important a person after being born again, the most important thing that that person should know is how faith works, the faith that I was just referring to, amen? And I tell you that's the most important. And faith is the most important in the kingdom of God. Perhaps some of you, and that's fine, not a single issue with it. But I want to know how you understand it. Perhaps some will say, no, Pastor, I think that love is more important, or wisdom is more important. How many of you perhaps could tell me something like that? According to me, love is more important. And it's fine if you believe it that way. But I want to know. that I can show you with the Bible. The contrary. You think love is more important? No? Yeah, because you're coming to the other sessions, right? You're cheating. Some of you are cheating. Well, but there's a lot of people who think that way. Love is more important, or as such. So, I'm going to make a point to clarify. I'm not saying that faith is more important in the sense of excluding the other laws or forces. I like excluding love or excluding wisdom. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that faith is more important as priority. Priority simply means first. Number one comes first. Amen. How many of you know, in English, I'm not new in the block. I'm not new guy in the hood. I'm not new. So, I understand something. Some people will say, no, Brother Hughes. The Bible says that the most important above all is love. And let's see where it says that. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13. Now, some people have told me this for many years. The Bible says that the most important is love. But if you know how to read, the Bible doesn't say that it's the most important. It uses another word. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. King James Version, the original, uses charity, which is sometimes which is translated to love. But notice how it says the greatest of these. Let's see what the New King James Version says. The greatest of these. El más grande. Pero nota que no dice el más importante. But notice how it doesn't say it's the most important. Perhaps some translations say. But it's not correct. This is referring to something. Where is this passage in the Bible? Chapter 13, correct? And in your Bible, chapter 13 is between 12 and 14. Am I right? Oh, what great revelation, Brother Hughes. Well, I'm getting to a point here. Because in chapter 12, as we've studied in the past, all of chapter 12 talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then it speaks that we are also members of the body of Christ. Then in 14, it speaks specifically of prophecy, of tongues, and interpretation of tongues in the church. So Paul, in chapter 13, had to put what many preachers or teachers or scholars call the chapter of love, which is chapter 13. The reason Apostle Paul said this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, was because the church of Corinth, as we studied before, the church there in Corinth was a very carnal church. There were thousands and thousands of people, and there was a lot of arguments and dissension and pride between them. So they thought that because the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowed much in that church, they thought that they were the last Coca-Cola in the desert. They thought that they were the best. They thought that they knew everything, and they thought that they were very mature. Apostle Paul here and popped their bubble. And he said, no, you are very carnal actually. And you flow a lot in the gifts, but you have the motive. You have the wrong motive. The motive was showed that our motive is out of love, which is why he said this. And he spoke, and he said, and now abide faith, hope, and love of these three. But the greatest of these, notice how he didn't say the most important. He was saying the greatest of these is love. Because we were taught through the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle, the Holy Spirit taught us through Apostle Paul that the greatest motivator is love. In other words, we read the Bible because we love God. We love the people because we love God. We come to church because we love God. We serve in the church because we love God and we love the people. But first you love God. You cannot love the people up until you do not love God. When I see certain governors destroy a nation because they try to please their political party, I sometimes ask if those governors truly love God and the people. When you put a country in an economical crisis, there's no law in many cities and states because they want to follow and continue pushing their own political agenda and of their party. And I ask if those governors truly love God and love the people. I make myself understood. The same when I see in churches, when pastors do not speak the word with integrity. They in their lives are not faithful. They do not support financially. They put pressure on the people, but they themselves do not support. I ask if they love God and the people. Everything that we do, the motive is love. So here, it's telling us that the greatest motivator is love. But I'm speaking that faith is the greatest activator now of the love of God. Notice in Ephesians, are you understanding? Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved. If you would have left it there, if by grace you have been saved, notice how it says, through faith. Meaning that you can have all the grace the world and all the grace that God can have and provide, but not use faith to access it. And that faith is no longer useful. Up until it is that grace is activated through faith. And your faith, you start using your faith, you release your faith through words and now corresponding actions. Those corresponding actions are those good works. Miracles do not change the people. It's the word. The word is impregnated with faith. You can resurrect someone from the dead and those people will be emotional for three weeks. And then after that, they're going to leave. And they themselves will say, like people have told me, oh, I have faith. Oh, yes, we're very grateful. But their actions show the contrary. Same happens here. Or better said, it's the contrary to what happens when the word produces faith. Faith of God. And if you receive that word, receive that faith, you walk in that faith, you act in that faith, then you will walk in another spiritual force, as I said, that we do not exclude other spiritual forces or laws, which is thankful. Which is why to this day, my pastor who was in heaven, he passed in 2017 to heaven. I had a 16-year long relationship. I continue mentioning him to this day, which is why to this day I keep mentioning on Friday. Brother Copeland turned 86 years old, and it hurt me. I almost cried on Saturday in the morning, and it was because Nubia reminded me. I sent him a message saying, Dad, forgive me. I did not see. I had such a busy day from morning to the afternoon, and it hurt me. So exaggerate, Brother Hughes. No, it's called another spiritual force, which is, I spoke of honor. Honor. That's when, now, and you understand, love, honor, thankfulness, etc., that now your faith becomes perfect. And your faith matures, and everything that you receive from God is through faith. You understand now? But faith has to be placed as seed. When a person is born again, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, recently born again, well, all the faith of the Lord Jesus is placed in the human spirit of that person. But that faith is like seed here in the mind, and that faith has to grow. Amen. Has to what? Grow. Here, right here. Change, renewing your mind. Your mind in your soul is your mind, your will, emotions, intellect, etc. Here in your soul. Your soul and your spirit are not the same necessarily, although the soul is connected to the spirit. Very important to understand. But the seed of faith, all seed grows, you understand? And that seed grows here in your soul, it develops here. Another way that we use, or some expressions that we use, is when we say, renew your way of thinking, change your way of thinking, renew your mind, etc. Amen. That's the seed of faith. Notice in Romans 12, Romans 12, verse 3. Following along, why it's so important to walk by faith. And when you know to walk by faith, then you will dominate what is known as your feelings. You put your feelings in the place of where you should put them, but you will not walk by them. We have feelings, and feelings are like a horse. You have to know how to control them. I ride horses ever since I was 7 years old. Seven. What, three, 42 years riding horses, and I've discovered something, that it's easier to have the horse under control than once it's scared and starts running off. You know Saul, right? Saul and I, or in the past, for a couple of years, we'd come here up till Douglas for hours riding horses. And it's much easier to have it under control than once it loses control, once it's scared. That's how your feelings are. We have them. You have to know how to control them and use them. But it's an issue when they're out of control, only go past the word of God. For example, when you don't understand faith, you say, what's normal? I have to get worried about something. It's because something happened and I got sad. Or I'm in depression because of what they did to me. No, it's not normal if you're a child of God. If you're a believer and if you understand the law of faith, your mind wants to react, that's normal. But you need to know how to control it and not live by it. You live by faith and the word of God, not by what people did to you. Not by how they hurt you or by what that person said about you. I don't know. There are different situations. Perhaps some of you, ever since you were a kid, you were abused sexually or you were beaten or you were treated incorrectly or your parents were neglected or something like that, your uncle, something. But that's why faith is so important, because people say, well, I don't feel like forgiving. If you don't understand faith, which is why faith is more important in the sense of priority, understanding faith than love itself. For example, Bible says of loving all our brothers and sisters and all people. But sometimes we have issues to sometimes even accept them, like liking them, much less love them. There are some people that are difficult to love. So if you want to love them through feelings, well, you're going to violate the law of faith and the law of love. That's why when you understand faith, you love them by faith. It has nothing to do with feelings. It's because you love God. And simply we love that person. Independent of what you think of them or of him or her, if you like them or not, you simply walk in love. And you will treat them as kindly as you treat the person that you do like, that you like to be with, that you feel compassion with. Has nothing to do with feelings. Someone say amen. For example, in this year, this election, I saw, not just here in Douglas, but I also saw two or three pickups there in Tucson and others in Phoenix with a flag that said F, the big F word, Biden. Now, because I know how you and I think, you and I were completely against the policies of Mr. Biden. But notice something, to this day we don't hate him, and we pray for him that the word of salvation reaches his life. But we're against his policies. And the same way, on the other way around, when they tried killing President Trump, oh, good. They were joyous. Well, if you and I are operating that way, we're operating like the world. We're not understanding the law of faith. And we're going to have the same results as the world. Because you and I could be born again. But walk like the world and obtain the same results that the world has. Depression, illness, poverty, lack. Because you're violating spiritual laws. You could be against someone in their ideology, but you should not be hating anyone. Guard your heart. And when an illness comes, you'll speak to that illness and say, in the name of Jesus, I curse you. Dry up in my body. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. And it's about time you see the healing that the Lord provided, because it's by faith. But what verse did we stay in? Oh, Romans 12. Thank you. Are you there? No. Yes. Okay. But the majority are there. Okay. Well, I'm not. But hold on. Romans 12. 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to one a measure of faith. How? To each one a measure of faith. That's the measure or the seed of faith that was placed in you and me when we were born again. But what happens with the seed? It grows, correct? It grows. So we're here in Romans. We're near it. But to go to Romans 10. Following along? Glory to God. Romans 10.
Cerca de ti está la palabra, en tu boca y en tu corazón. Esta es la palabra de
Verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Repeating again, the word of faith which we preach. This is the word of faith, the word of faith that we preach. So, the word of God is the word of faith. Because the word of God produces faith in your heart. Be it you are born again, faith to be born again, but you don't stay there. But now the word will produce faith here in your mind and change your way of thinking. If you receive it, of course. If you don't bring your own ideas. Oh, well, I, Brother Hughes, I think this. Oh, well, Brother Hughes, I believe the other. Again, I have my way of thinking and believing. But neither your way nor the other matter before the eyes of God, but what he says in his word. The word of faith that we preach. Now, let's see the word of faith as a seed. Mark chapter 4. Now, if some of you do not understand or feel that I'm going a bit too fast, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, slow down, please. You're going a little too fast. Really, with all confidence, with all trust, I'm telling you that so you can do it. Mark 4. Now to see how words are seed for good or for bad, I'm going to use an example for good. For good. Do you know why Anthony, my son, teeny? Very few know. Okay, when my son was born, 2004, Amber here was 3 years old. It's a good example, okay? We're good. And Amber could not pronounce Anthony and started calling her T. She didn't know how to say Anthony. She was 3 years old. So now she called him Teeny, and all the other kids called him Teeny, and many of those kids grew up here with him. And then Sister Lucy continued calling him Teeny. So, which is why they call him Teeny. The effect of words. It's a good example, because now the youth call him that. And it's a good example. But you can sometimes use words in a negative sense. Contrary. So thanks to Amber, they call him Teeny. You see, it's a good example. Many of you didn't know, right? Now let's see the effect of words. Now it can be good or bad in this sense. Mark 4, verse 26. And he said, notice, the kingdom of God is as, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man would scatter seed on the ground. Again, this is how the kingdom of God operates. Pause very quickly. Question. I know some of you already know it, but I like for your mind to constantly be working there. What is the kingdom of God? Huh? It's a system of government of who? Of man or of God? Of God. Another way of saying it is how God operates in that system of government. How in this country, talking about this country here in the United States, we have a system of government. And we have what we know as the Constitution. And that supposedly, that everything that we do in this country is based on the Constitution. Supposedly. No, that's another subject. Supposedly. I'll leave it there. Watch Kingdom and Government every Monday. Don't lose tomorrow's at 8 in the evening on our YouTube channel. Of Word of Faith Ministries. Now, the Kingdom of God is a system of government. It's how God operates. God loves you a lot. Through grace, but just because he loves you by grace and loves you unconditionally, he will go against the constitution of the kingdom, nor will he violate his own laws. It's what people who preach grace assume or think. Nope. So, and he said the kingdom of God is as if, or the kingdom of God operates as if a man, just being human being, man or woman, just scatter seed on the ground. Seed. And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, yet he himself does not know how. Now, this is how the kingdom of God, going again, 26. If a man should scatter seed on the ground, the word of God is like seed. That's what he was saying. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ here was explained to the people. Why? Because he was giving them examples that they could all relate to. If I talk to you about a seed of beans or a flower and it grew and sprouted, you'd understand. But if someone comes here, talks about us a crater on the moon, and now we walked on the moon and the dust of the moon, like, we're going to hear him, but we're not going to relate, because neither you or I have gone to the moon. Well, Brother Hughes, one time I had a dream. That's another thing. None of us have gone to the moon, so we're not going to understand. So we have the Lord Jesus Christ here had to give examples where we could all relate to. Verse 27. And that man or woman sleep by night, rise by day, and that seed sprouts and grows. You have to understand. Your seed will sprout and grow. You understand it in the natural. Why don't you understand it in the spiritual? You have to guard your words. what you're speaking, what you're believing and putting in your heart inside of you. This case has to do a lot with your mind. Now notice, verse 28, for the earth yields crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. When the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. First, that little blade is going to come up. Have you seen? When coming out of winter, springtime comes in, certain parts of the fields, grass starts growing. But that brown dust starts turning a little green. That's that head that starts growing. So what words and what action are you doing in this moment? All that you sow, you will reap. If you don't like what you have right now in your lifestyle, then you're going to have to change and start meditating and asking help of the Holy Spirit to tell you what words have you been speaking, what actions have you been doing, what have you been believing for? Because what man believes, that is what he speaks. And what man believes, he will not just speak, he will act on it. From governments, finance, to any person.
Amen.
Amen. I'll read 26, 27, and 28. Help me with the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. You are that farmer. And your seed are the words and corresponding action. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. Verse 28, the earth produces the crops on its own. Attention to that declaration. The earth produces the crops on its own. But you know that there has to, but because there's seed there. Because if I put seed here, or there on the floor, on the tile, or on the rug, it's not going to grow. It doesn't have the conditions to grow. That those harvests has to do with the seed that was there. First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. Verse 29, and as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Verse 30, Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? Continue. It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground, or a seed of faith. Sown in the ground, it is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can take nests in its shade. That's it. Well, thank you. Okay, leave it there. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. There we go. Every seed will produce its own harvest, corresponding actions, words, or any other that we do. Genesis. Praise the Lord that I came to church. So do you want to change your circumstances, change your words, change your attitudes? Sow more honor in God if you want to see more honor from God in your life. Genesis. Notice, during creation, Genesis means the beginning. That's what Genesis means. Genesis 1, verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Now, New Living Translation. Please. New Living Translation. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they come, and that is what happened. In other words, when someone tells you, what came first, the chicken or the egg? You'll know that it was a chicken first. And when they tell you, and where did the chicken come from? You're going to say, God made him from the earth. You don't believe it? Genesis 1. Verse 24 and 25. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its own kind. From where? From the earth. Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So how are they reproduced? By the seed that's in them. He made a human being one time, and now man reproduces. Seed that is in man. Can you see it? God is not going to make more trees. Tree reproduces by the seed of its own. See? Can you see it? It's all in the seed. And the seed will produce. That's what God already put. No, we're not going to destroy the earth. Relax. We're not going to destroy it. There's not a single man who can destroy this earth. That's not what the Bible says. Now, be a good administrator of what you have. Good steward. In all areas. Then, be a good administrator of your words, of your actions, of your time. Because remember, it's seed, and it will produce. Do not waste your time on things that are not that are not good. Watching trash, a bunch of trash on the internet. There are good things, but there are many things that are not of benefit. Do not put bad seeds inside of you. Because God will take care of bringing those good harvests, will make sure that those good seeds produce a good harvest. Satan will take care of bringing you a bad harvest, bad seeds. The devil will destroy your life, not God, devil. You understand now? But go back to Genesis. Now, I already read it. 11, correct? Now, verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. You see the principle of faith? In all areas. Now, I don't know about you if you have an issue with this. When I say issue, I mean that it bothers you a little bit. That's what I'm referring to. When I hear people out there criticizing us, sometimes to certain churches, as I've said, I'm not defending pastors nor churches. You understand? You know me. That I'm not the lawyer of churches. I don't characterize myself with that. On the contrary. Nevertheless, I'm not going to speak for all pastors, but I can speak for this one and for good churches that I know, good friends, and of God. But when I say this, it bothers me a bit. It bothers me that I don't get mad. I didn't fall in depression. You understand that word? It bothers me. It catches my attention. I sometimes question why. Sometimes people here in Douglas, the people that know me, you know, they're people of the world. They're heathens. Or pagans. They have their ideas. And some of them are honest enough. Some of them ask me questions. Because they don't know me for years. They'll ask me. And I'll enter in that point a little bit. Because I want you to see the process of faith. But I don't know if you've seen in this month. I'm going to make a quick pause so you can see the importance of words very quickly. It was during the time of Barack Obama. In the first term, he started popularizing or the first two terms, he started popularizing Happy Holidays, as to not say Merry Christmas, because they said that we're going to offend the minorities that do not believe in Jesus Christ. And you see the power of words. Of now Latin American languages copy us. They just translated it of Happy Holidays. Do not say Merry Christmas anymore. Because Christmas in Spanish, Navidad, comes from nativity. The nativity or the birth of Jesus Christ. You understand? Birth of Jesus Christ. That's what it's talking about. But do you think it's the people? No, it's the devil operating in their minds. So now we have Happy Holiday. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ truly and have been born again, you should not be promoting these. Now praise the Lord that the new president-elect said we're going to be saying Merry Christmas. But although this president-elect could have said Happy Holidays, you and I continue saying Merry Christmas. Not Happy Holidays has to try to please the world. You and I do not need to please the world. I'm saying that if you want to operate in faith and honor, someone say amen. Well, the power of words. But here's where I have a bit of an issue. You following along? Problem or issue doesn't mean I'm mad. I don't hate anyone. Catches my attention. I don't know if you've noticed close to December 2024, Christmas, because I say that because in a couple years later, radio or television, they could be a different time. Because what's recorded today in radio and televisions, it could be months later. So, it could be a year later even. So, in December 2024, I don't know if you've had to go, perhaps let's start from south towards north. Have you gone to Sierra Vista, to the stores there? Every car that you see with a U.S. plate, you'll see three from Sonora. And that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. And then you've gone to Tucson. To the mall, yesterday where we have our reunions in Tucson.
Comforts.
In Comforts Inn. I counted the same. Every one car with a plate, we saw another four with Sonora. I'm not against that. The economy is moved. The money is moved. Some obtain one thing, some is moved here. People obtain a benefit with that money. Do you agree with me? Why? Because the people come and buy things. Normally, clothing, perhaps a gift, a television that they need. You and I need things. Do you agree? You have issue with that? No. The restaurants are filled. Are you sure with that? No, I'm not. Good. We need it. The economy is moved. Glory to God. Especially if you know about someone who is a brother in Christ. They have a restaurant there. Support them. Support a brother in Christ. But here's this. I want you to see this. Do you have issues with that? No, I don't have issues with that. And then if you go to Phoenix, but normally here, Tucson, Sierra Vista, you're going to see cars. You're going to see the malls are filled. And there are some of the people that don't just come and buy here because they need to. They make commercial stuff. They come and sell. They come buy them and then resell them. Are you against that? I'm not. Normal. That's fine. I admire the people who do business. But all those things is moved in a monetary system where all the countries have. Or the majority of the countries in this planet Earth have. Now another question. Are you against that? We shouldn't be. Because if not, you'd live in a cave wearing animal hides. But some people have asked me some things, and here's my issue with it. We live in a society, want it or not. City, state, country, and the countries that we are next to, Mexico and Canada, and any other country, Spain, France. And we live in a society in a monetary society. Do you have an issue with that? No. Now, there are people who kill for money. Did you know that? There are people who rob for money. There are people who cheat for money. There are people who do bad things with the money. And that's what we're against. But using money as a system of exchange, I'm not against that. And we shouldn't be. No, none of us. What I have an issue with is this. Is when we mention or speak of money, people criticize us out there. But some of them spend money, do all that, and that's fine. But they have issues when we speak of money. And where I have the most issues when Christians or pastors are cowardice about it and don't speak about it, and their churches are poor and their people are poor. God sees money as a seed, and it's His money because His earth is His, oxygen is His. The natural gases that we have here, which I don't know why, we stopped producing our own natural gas. And the economy fell. To this day, I still don't understand why. Well, that's another subject 4 years ago. I don't understand why. People started coming by the millions. They opened the border because they were offering them money. I don't see it in the Constitution, but that's another subject. Because some of us came illegally, but weren't begging for money. We almost became offended if the government wanted to offer us money. And at that time, we hadn't been born again. We called them some very not nice words that we can't repeat to this day. But things have changed. That's another subject. That's for Kingdom and Government on Friday, tomorrow, at 8 in the evening. Now, here's this. Now, I have issues with that. You know when you're going to have issues as a believer? Child of God, when you do not renew your mind with the word. We just saw Romans 12, right? Verse 3. Go to 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Was I going too fast? It's because it was a lot of information. I have to start wrapping up this series. And do not be conformed to this world, this way of thinking of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So see things as how God sees them. Because if you say that you're a child of God, believer in Christ Jesus, then you were moved from the kingdom of the Lord Jesus and you came out of the kingdom of darkness. Can you see it there? New Living Translation? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, with that idea in mind, and to take advantage of time, don't go to your Bible for the first time, I'm going to tell you. Unless you have a Bible like that, and in Spanish, there isn't one. To this day, as I know, there isn't one of the Amplified. So, you're going to have to see it there on your screen. 2 Corinthians 9:6. So you have to see how God, not just the word, the attitude, but how God sees it. You don't have issues like how people have. Some people tell me, "Hey Hughes, I saw you." One told me in Tucson, I was at home of a brother-in-law of mine, and you came out in a TV station there. I said, "Oh, glory to God, yeah." And then he asked me, "Remember, he doesn't cut me here, nothing like that. Is TV very expensive?" "Yes, very." And he said, "How much do you pay?" I said, "I don't know how much. I don't have the amount," but I gave him a rough estimate. Here on a sidewalk here. You know what he did? He saw me like this, and he gave 2 steps back. "What?" And he said, "And I think I'm giving you a lower number. It could be higher, plus our radio stations." He gave another step back. "What? Are you crazy?" You know why? Because they don't value what we value, and we should value it. And we can't be walking. I said, "Hey, you know what? Hey, why do you get scared? I'm going to talk to the administration for church and ask them how much you have donated in church." Those who most criticize are the ones who haven't given anything, and we don't ask them for anything. Amen. So don't be a coward to be speaking of this subject. Because when I started preaching of faith and religion, the people who attacked me, when I would speak of healing, when you attack divine healing, you will become sick. Amen. When you attack prosperity, divine prosperity, biblical prosperity, you will reach poverty and be more broke than a rat. Amen. Well, so-and-so in the church is here and this pastor made fraud. That's true, but not all. Amen. Not all. Notice 2 Corinthians 9, the Amplified Version. If you want to see it here. From verse 6 to verse 15. Now you can read it from your Bible as my brother over there, but you're not going to get the understanding. Verse 6. And it is written and forever remains written, he, the beloved and generous person. Now all of the Apostle Paul here was speaking about offering and giving. But where did Apostle Paul learn what he knew? From where? From where? Did he read it in a book? Did he study it from his pastor? I did, but where did he learn it from? From the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to give you more Bible, which is why I was going to wait much faster. But in Galatians 1 verse 11, now go to Galatians there in your Bible, Galatians 1 verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me was not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And now we see that in other parts of the Bible it says that he was taken to the third heaven. That's where he received all revelation of what is true grace, not false grace. True grace. And the apostle of grace, the apostle of grace and faith, is teaching us here in 2 Corinthians 9. Don't you get passionate with these subjects? That's when I raise my voice. Don't get discouraged because I just get passionate. Where we were at. This is the Amplified Version. Simply the Amplified Version. Grabbed the Greek manuscripts and amplified certain words and sometimes gave them more synonyms. Now remember this. He who sows sparingly. The Lord Jesus Christ here was speaking of a seed. It was talking about the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit reveals to us in Genesis 1 that we just read that all seed produces according to its nature, meaning that if the Holy Spirit called money, left it recorded there, the Holy Spirit, the author of this written word, the Lord Jesus Christ used the Holy Spirit to reveal this to Paul. The Apostle Paul left it written in the Bible. It means that if the Lord Jesus Christ used or the Holy Spirit permitted this to be written for our understanding, it means that you and I have to see money and words and actions and honor as seed and gratefulness as seed. But I have an issue when people like that this individual, and I'm not mad with him. He's a pagan. He's a heathen. But what I have an issue is when Christians are like that. You know, weren't you taken from darkness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're thinking how the world thinks. You have to change your way of thinking, because if not, you're going to stay in that same level. And God doesn't want you in the level that you're at. If you say, oh, I'm very blessed, God wants you even more blessed. Do you think God wants you to there in the level that you're at right now? No. You can say that you're very blessed, right? Could you testify? Especially years ago when I met you. And how things have changed. For good. And they'll change better. And then, for the best. So, you have to think how God thinks. That's the kingdom. You have to grab the kingdom of God and put it here in your mind. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Now remember this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows generously that blessings may come to others. Now, before recording, I was sharing. Who paid for the USBs, those CDs? Who paid for all that? Someone paid for that. Someone paid for it. And people took them for free. What I'm saying is here. Leave it there. Well, also, that blessings may come to others. That blessings may come to others. A couple months ago, I came into the Circle K here on Pan American. I went in to buy something quickly. When I was coming out, a young man, and then with a big belt buckle, big boots and hat, saw me. He said, "Hey, you're the one that comes out TV, right?" I said, "On the TV." He said, "Oh yes, yes. Why?" "It's because my mom watches you." "Oh, okay." He says, "She says that you're his pastor. You're her pastor." I asked if we were gonna go to get groceries. You know, those simple people where they give you almost everything of their life. Is it because they ran out of dough to make tortillas? To make lunch. I said, "Oh, okay." I said, and then my mom said, "No, hold on, because my pastor's going to come up." And I said, "Oh, is your mom evangelical?" "No, she's Catholic, but she says that you're his pastor. You're her pastor." They're in Sonora, in Telamex. Someone pays for that. And for the heathens to say, "No, you shouldn't be speaking of that." Who says? Ask them, "Who are you? When did you die and become God? When did you go on the cross and to suffer in heaven for my sins?" You have to have the will to speak. You know, maybe, you know, Nubia tells me, you know, bring it down a couple. You go up to 20 sometimes. You know, bring it down a little bit. But, you know, in love, with a smile and say, "Hey, when did you become Jesus Christ and die on the cross?" Now, verse 6, about to wrap up. "That blessings may come to others will also reap generously and be blessed." So notice, who reaps generously, that the blessings may come to others will also reap generously and be blessed. You and the other who hears the word in helping people. Verse 7. Same amplified. "Let each one give thoroughly and with purpose. Not just stupidly or foolishly." Someone shouldn't make you emotional or obligate you. No one here obligates you. We teach you. "Just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift." The gift of giving. God delights in it. Well, I don't believe that. Then you can stay poor. Because if you don't sow, you won't reap. Many of us have seen this, including Nubia and I. We started from zero, from bottom, this church, without selling tamales. Now we reach 92 countries around the whole world. And we're going to reach, what? How many? 190 so countries very soon. But the authority of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So then God is obligated with obligation to his word, not you and I, but to his word. So if you and I, by faith, operate in that faith, then financial blessings will come. They have to. Amen. And you know what happened? Many Christians, including you and I, stopped believing in the biblical principle of seed. And as Sister Mireya shared, or the Lord through Sister Mireya, said that the serpent would bite them. Who were under grace and all that, boom, and they went down financially. Others did not use wisdom. Here's another force that you have to use. Did not use wisdom. Which is why you see people, when we receive the offerings, all the caught running. Those are the ones that have more need. Because they're under obligation. They don't believe. Because he who says, I don't have, is because God doesn't see you as a sower. Notice verse 6. Now remember this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And now go to verse 10, 2 Corinthians 9:10. in that version, Amplified. Now he who provides seed for the sower, who will provide? God, not you. Not you. If you exercise faith, you believe that you receive it. Remember that we spoke it. God will provide seed for you. God will provide money for you. How much? Whatever you decide in your heart. He who provides seed for the sower and bread for food, it's God. When it says he, speaking about God. To the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing. As to say, that is, your resources. God will provide, not just so you can have to sow in the kingdom, but so you can also eat. You will not lack. That bread doesn't just mean food. It means everything that we need. Clothing, your home, paying the light bill, everything that you need. It also means what multiply your seed for harvest. As to say, your resources increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself, and we also saw, in acts of goodness, kindness, and love. How many of you can see that? Now, go to verse 7. I'm about to wrap up here. Let each one give thoroughly and with purpose. That should be a very important verse here. Thoroughly and with purpose. Just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. Now, help me with the Amplified Classic now in verse 7. Amplified Classic in verse 7. Let each one give as he has made up in his own mind and purpose in his heart. You're her. Speaking about the person here. Not reluctantly or sorrowfully and under compulsion. For God loves. Speaking about God. Loves means the amplified it from the Greek. He takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without. As in, God will not abandon something or do without that you need. Notice again. God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things to the cheerful giver. The first part, where did I leave it here? Notice here in the first part here on the screen. God loves, you see that parenthesis here. That's what God loves. It means he takes pleasure in, talking about God. But when it says here, the cheerful giver, and here it's amplified for you. That cheerful giver is the joyous, prompt to do it, whose heart is in his giving. Here we see the connection, God and you. You and God. Here you see the covenant. Needs two to tango. It takes two to tango. Which is why people who have used the great grace of God but are poor, school and churches have closed. For false preachers of grace.
Amen. Gracias, Señor.
Qué bueno que vine. Praise the Lord that I came.
Qué bueno que vine. Entonces,
Pastor, pero, Pastor, but you've taught us that wisdom is more important. No. No. I've said that wisdom has its place. Wisdom is direction. Didn't say that faith is more important when you exclude other forces. But even with that being said, when you need direction, you seek God. You need faith to believe that God is speaking to you. But you need faith, and you need faith to obey God. But here, the only direction that you need is what is your part in this. That's it. But once you give based on love, now you have to use faith and your mouth to say, I will prosper. And if you're poorer than a rat, that's how I was. You start speaking by faith, and now by faith, you start speaking what you want to see in your life. And glory to God. We are happy for the elections that we had, but don't put a single grain of faith in a person, but in God and His Word. Amen. And say, thank you, Lord. Now when you participate of this, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you will participate here online with your heart. And you will believe God. And if not, hey, no one obligates you. That those mouthy people out there saying, oh, well, there you go to church. I think you can take out your money. No, that's not true. You can stay poor. But don't be mad when you see others prosper. And say, it's not just. Because he who sows He who doesn't sow does not reap. I remember years ago in Sonora, this man sowed many acres there. Sowed corn. But his nephew was mad because he went so good. And he said, and I asked him, well, how much did you sow? And he said, oh, I didn't receive anything because I just didn't have time. Why are you mad? I mean, he took the time, money, effort. The other one was in parties. Well, each one sows. And it's true. You can prosper without God. Yeah, you don't need God. You can cheat. You can make fraud and work. But the blessing of the Lord is better. It's better to be rich in the way of God. Because you will enjoy. You will always know from where. Always know where it came from of what you have. And know what will come. Now stand on your feet.
Gloria a Dios. That's so good. I got it.
Creo que lo recibo. Alguien va a dar un millón de dólares. If I receive it. Creo que alguien va a dar un million dollars. Remember? A while. About 2 years I've been saying it. Started saying this, I think we were still during the pandemic. Would look at me like, oh, it's crazy. And the few that came possibly thought that I had COVID affected my brain. But you're going
to...
The Bible says that when you pray it, believe you receive it. Say, I believe I receive it. There's two or three over there picking fights. An aunt said one time, don't pick fights. No fighting. There are fights. Not going to say names. I'm going to let them say. What a big harvest they're going to receive. You know what mentality? I was in a church one time and I was gonna start teaching there, giving him an announcement, the order of their service. And he was saying they're very happy that he and his children are of business. And everybody is involved in business. And he was very happy because all the expenses in the church are covered by what we give. And everybody, most of them were happy, but there was a young couple next to me. They were very serious. And I was serious, but it wasn't my church. And later, that couple came to us and they said, Pastor, with all the respect, everything what you said is, it's because you give that you are so well blessed. And when you told us not to give, you are cutting us off from that blessing. And the next service, the pastor said, you know what? I repent. And he corrected himself. And you could tell that the young couple knew what was right. That's why selling food at churches is not biblical. Here, these years that we have in the Lord, not a single pig has given their soul for bills, for church bills. Because some of you, not all of you, maybe a couple of you, maybe two of you, will say, I'm glad someone else is going to give that million so I don't have to do it myself. And that's why you're going to be stuck being poor. The Lord loves you the same. You know, I was poorer than a rat. in Mesa, Arizona. I lived in an abandoned car and I ate trash from McDonald's. And the Lord loved me the same. I have been poor. I have been in different levels. And this one where I'm at is better, but I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to keep growing. The Lord wants you to prosper and have good things. If you want to live in a small house, a big house, an old car, a new car, that's up to you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, give you thanks. I'm going to pray for anyone that needs healing. The Word of God says that by His stripes we're healed. What the Word says, and He sent His Word and that He set us free from ruin. Psalms 107 healed us and set us free from ruin. And now in Jesus' name I take authority and I cast out any weapon Satan and any sickness. That sickness leaves your body now with anointing from the Holy Spirit and the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak that healing be manifested in your body. Thank you, Lord. And I speak the favor of God in your body. And I speak that the Holy Spirit flows freely in your body and in your soul, according to Romans 8:11. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead brings life to your mortal body. That anointing goes through your organs, your veins, your arteries. We give thanks, Jesus. Now I'm going to pray for those who are going to give in faith. Maybe some of you are going to give a 10%. Maybe some of you are going to give an offering. Whatever you set in your heart, here and other places, television and radio. And I say, Father, thank you. I ask that you honor your word, that you have tied your soul, its obligation to our body. And I ask that you bring harvest and that their seed prospers. I come in agreement that nothing is missing in their homes this Christmas, this new year. We cancel all debt in Jesus' name. And we speak wisdom and how to use our money. How to speak peace in our homes, our perverse acts and all dissension cast out. I speak prosperity in your business, in your home, in your work, the blessing of the Lord home and in your life, in your business. The grace of the Lord opens doors. The favor of God opens doors. And where you are in your job, you're promoted. A bonus or a check, name of Jesus, and your business prospers. Hallelujah. We give thanks. Hallelujah. Because God wants you to be good. My fathers in the faith, my mentors, Papa Hagen, taught me this. 5 reasons to give. The last one is you. The first one is because you love God. The second one, because you love the people. And the third, because you love your local church. Second, because you love people. Third, because you love your local church. And fourth, because we want to extend the kingdom of God beyond the four walls. And five, because you want to prosper. Because you want to be in a better standing. And that's good. Ensure those four first. And nothing will be missing. And you're going to keep prospering. Glory to God. Glory to God. Speak the favor of God over your business, your shop, your store, your work. And when you speak, you say, Father, I give thank you for a bigger and greater job and financial opportunities. And I speak to that wisdom of God to manage that job. And when that prosperity comes, you pray and you give thanks and you pray in other tongues. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And did you know that through Word of Faith Ministries in English, there are Muslims coming to Jesus, and we're getting messages on our website, Lord. What a church can do here in Douglas who believes the Lord. But we don't have that mentality. Poor Mexicans that we are. All whites are racist, and Trump is racist, and all that stupidity. The Lord is our source. The Lord has been our source. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Not socialism, not communism, God. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.